Hey, as you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark chapter 8 and find that. Because today we're going to be wrestling with a truth that's kind of paradoxical. It's true, but it's true only counterintuitively. When you first kind of hear it, you go, what? It just doesn't quite make sense. But let me illustrate with a couple other areas of life where this is also true. Who here, like me, sometimes has a hard time sleeping? You have a bit of insomnia kind of stuff, especially stress-related. You've got stuff on your mind, and it's just really, really hard to shut it down. Thanks to all the honesty all around the room, that's good. Because I struggle with that sometimes. And here's the thing. You know, you ever, it's kind of late at night, and you're trying to fall asleep, and you're thinking, okay, am I falling asleep now? It's getting late. I should really be sleeping. Am I sleeping now? And you kind of try to work yourself towards the place of sleep. And does that ever work? No. No. The harder you try, the more you focus on falling asleep, the less chance you have of falling asleep. Ever notice that? It's so paradoxical and yet funny. The harder you try, the worse it gets. Other areas are a little bit like that too. The more that if you've ever been a runner or you're doing something athletically, you know, the more you focus on the fact that you're running, the more tired you get. But if you focus on the finish line, it's a good chance you'll make it there. When I'm struggling with insomnia, one of the things I often do is I have an iPod or actually a little MP3 player next to the bed, and I just put on sermons, actually. And then, you know, it takes my mind somewhere else, and I fall asleep. And some of you right now are listening to me on a podcast, and you're welcome. Like that. But it takes my mind off of what I was worrying about and puts my mind onto the things of God. And amazingly, at that point, some of the stress starts to lift. I stop thinking so much of myself, and I start thinking about the Lord, and I'm able to rest. It doesn't always work. Sometimes it's hard to get my mind off of the stress, but it helps. The more I focus on it, the worse. The more I focus on my thing, the worse it gets. If I'm training somebody to be a speaker or a worship leader, I'll tell them, you're ready to speak when you care more that the audience hears your message than how you sound saying it. Does that make any sense? When the worship leaders up here are doing their job, they're not very concerned about how they look or how they sound because they are listening to what's happening overall. And you lose a sense of yourself. You stop being so shy. You stop having stage fright because it's not about you anymore. Now, that's the truth that Jesus is going to be talking to us in a way that these are some of the hardest words in all of Scripture, and I want us to wrestle with them today. So, in your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, and just reading about four verses, but these are pretty meaty verses, so I want us to spend some time with them, and especially on chapter 8, verse 35. If there's a passage today, I would challenge you to memorize and just commit to your heart. This would be it, okay? So in Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 34, then he, meaning Jesus, called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Remember, Jesus is saying this sometime in anticipation of his crucifixion. It hasn't happened yet. The disciples have no idea what he's talking about other than the fact that the cross, in at least in that culture and at that time, the cross was the place that they put the lowest of the low. The cross was the place of tremendous shame. And Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And then verse 35. Let's commit this to memory if we can today. For whoever wants to save their life will what? Lose it. If you want to save your life, you will. If you want to save your life, you'll end up right. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will what? Let's say the whole thing together because I would so much hope we could have this passage committed to memory somehow. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul. You heard a poem about that a little bit earlier today that Christina wrote. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? And every single day, you and I, we have marketers that are, they're just doing their job, but they're trying to sell you stuff. And it's the same storyline. If you buy our stuff, your life will be better, right? You get the newest car, you get the newest gadget, you get the best food, whatever it is, your life is going to be better. And to a certain degree, it kind of is true, right? You ever driven a new car? Get that new car smell? You don't want to roll down the windows. It smells so good. It smells so good. And we bought a new car once in our life. It smelled so amazing. You know, you just want to watch. It just looks great. You want to look at it in the driveway. And then you get a dent in it. And it's, you know, and 10 years later, you're like, whatever. It's just the heap in the driveway. Right? It feels great for a while, but the luster wears off really fast. We get the latest gadget and the smartphone or whatever, and then 3 years later, it's kind of cracked up and the battery doesn't last very long, and you just want to get a new one. But wouldn't it be just the worst trade ever to orient our lives around all that stuff as if that was actually what was important? To live for that solely? What a terrible trade. Because the satisfaction of those things, they just don't last. And we know that. I mean, you know that. We know that. We've experienced that time and time and time again, and yet we still go for it. We're the same fish biting the same hook every single time. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? And then a verse that just is chilling to me. For if any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man, that's a term that Jesus would use to refer to himself, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Either our lives will proclaim Christ and people will see us and they'll go, there goes a follower of Jesus. Or we'll find some way to hide that. And that's not good. Now, I should point out, this has nothing to do with the main topic. Please don't use this verse as an excuse to send, like Christian email. You know how you get those chain emails, and it's like, okay, if you really love Jesus, you're going to send that on? No. Don't leverage guilt in order to send around a good message. Feel free to send the messages around, but don't put guilt on the end. That doesn't actually make it more true. But back to that, our primary verse. Whoever wants to save their life will what? Lose it. They'll lose it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're losing it. Yeah. They're like, yeah, that's right. Lost it already. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel will save it. If you want to save it, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it, you'll save it. One of the things that happens as a believer, and maybe some of you are so young in your faith, you haven't experienced this one yet. But, you know, when we first come to Christ, we just start becoming aware of what God's doing in our life. And you get so excited. And Jesus loves me, this I know. You're like, wow. You just become overwhelmed with how amazing God is and how much he loves you. You know, and you start to see often some transformation happening in your life. I mean, for many in our congregation, they came to Christ, and then finally they had the power to conquer the demons of addiction. And I mean, life just starts to change, and it's wonderful. And then as we go along in our faith, something kind of happens, and it's a little bit like you're driving on a road, and in your heart level, it feels like you just changed lanes from the lane of Jesus did this for me. Wow, God is so amazing. He loves me so much. He is so good. And on a heart level, it just feels like we sort of change lanes just a little bit and say, okay, and so now I'm going to work at being a loving person. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we change lanes and go, I'm a loving person, so I try to show Jesus' love everywhere I go. And it feels like we've just made a slight move feels just like we've changed lanes, but in fact, we've changed directions. That's what I want to talk about today. Because the focus at that point, we've taken the focus off of Jesus and what he has done for us, and we put the focus instead on ourselves. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will what? Save it. You've memorized the verse now. Good for you. And it's so easy from look how God loves me to make the shift towards I'm going to really work hard at being a loving person. And so the focus comes more on you, and it's a subtle shift. It's the subtlest shift in the heart. It feels just like changing lanes, even though we've actually changed directions, and we find ourselves getting frustrated. How come I'm not changing so much? How come I'm not becoming a more patient person? Why do I get so irritated by stuff? You know, shouldn't my heart be changing? I see, we try harder. I'm just going to work on it more. I'm just going to try to remember because I'm such an idiot. I'm going to try to be more kind, you doughhead. So we work at it, and we work at it, and we work at it, and we get frustrated. Do you want to know why you get frustrated sometimes? Do you want to know why? It's because you're frustrating. It's because you can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because you can't do it. That's why. It was all about Jesus all along. Jesus was the one that made that heart transformation in you in the first place. It wasn't in your strength. But now here you are and here I am. I'm in the same lane often, you know, trying to work it out myself. And we get tired. You know, some of us, when we first came to Christ and just like, you just couldn't wait to open up the Bible. And prayer was just like, wow. And then you just get tired of it. You think, oh, you dummy, you should be praying more. And sometimes we can discipline ourselves into it. And, you know, having a discipline of a, you know, daily devotional time, that's a good thing. It really is. But the heart shift that happens is it becomes less about what Jesus is doing in me and more what I'm doing for Jesus. And so when we have a good day and we get our devotions together, we feel great. I got my groove on. I'm having a good day. And then we miss it one day. Oh, man, I just can't believe it. I just lost it again. You beat yourself up. And the way that you experience God goes between this God of grace and affection and the God of judgment. That's how you experience God. How it feels when you put the focus on you. Or if we're really being honest, sometimes we go walking along in a Christian life for a while and we get bored, you know? It's a whole routine, you know, go to church, pray, maybe go to a connection group, maybe not. Kind of wait for something good to happen. We get bored. Do you want to know why you get bored? It's because you're boring. That's why you get bored. It's because you're boring. I'm boring. And when the focus of my life is on me, now, this is not what Oprah is going to teach you, by the way, but when the focus of your life is on me, is on yourself, I get frustrated, I get tired, and I get bored because I'm boring. If the focus of my life was all about me, I'm just another suburban white guy trying to raise a family and hopefully pay all my bills before I die. No one's going to write an epic novel about that. What good is that plot? But if my focus is on Jesus, the God of this universe is on a mission to restore the cosmos to himself. He is taking the fallen humanity and he is redeeming it and restoring it. And there's this book that tells the story of his work in humanity. And though the final pages of the Bible have been written, the story isn't done. I'm a part of that story. I'm one little piece of a great big thing. I'm a foot soldier in the army of God. Now that's a story worth telling, and that's a story worth living for, right? Right? But the heart shift that gets us to those places of fatigue and frustration and boredom, it can be just so very subtle. We take our eyes off of Jesus. Oh, thank you, God, for what you did for me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And somehow we just make that shift as if we could save ourselves. We start thinking that it is about us, and we've just got to try harder. And get tired and frustrated, and we forget that whoever wants to save their life, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to save myself. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. You turn to me and say, you've lost it. But whoever loses their life for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, we'll save it. Last week we talked a little bit about idols, some of the common idols that we have. You know, money, relationships, vocation, status, success. Some of the things that we turn to for a sense of security, the things that you turn to for comfort. And these things that we need to lay down that as we walk with Jesus, just like the rich man, he'll tell us to lay those things down. It can be such a struggle to lay those down. That's part of the story. And I was so grateful this week to hear how many people were wrestling with their idols, what things we worship instead of Jesus. But that's only part of the story, because it's not just about what we lay down. It's about what we pick up. And the passage today reminds us that what we need to pick up is Jesus. And so all of this and all of this, you know, the discussion of this passage is just to ask you this question. How's your focus? What have you been focusing on recently? Do you sometimes get tired and frustrated and maybe even bored with your faith? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but just search your own heart. It might be. It might be because maybe you've been a little preoccupied with how you're doing. And maybe a little unaware of how much Jesus is actually doing. If our focus is on Christ, every day can be an adventure. Every person you meet has the imprint of God. There are no chance encounters. There are no random moments. There's God at work in the world around you. And you get to be a part of that. And just like trying to fall asleep, you know, when we try to make ourselves more loving people, all we do is we get frustrated and tired. But when we remember how much we've been loved, it kind of comes more naturally. And some of you know that. You've experienced that in life. And yet, like me, we somehow drift lanes. And it doesn't feel like a big deal. And we forget we've actually changed directions. So what I'd like us to do today is we're going to pray and have some time in song. And just like you to search your heart a bit. And maybe in that time, just to try to refocus your thoughts on Jesus, not on how well you're doing for him, but what's he been doing for you? What's he already done? You know, we can't stir up our affections for God. Even Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, it's by grace you've been saved, and even that is not of yourselves. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Even the faith you have is a gift from God. You cannot make that happen, as hard as you try. But what we can do is we can, in the words of actually one of the pastors I listen to when I'm falling asleep, Matt Chandler, if you're insomniac, maybe it'll help you out. It's good stuff. We can position ourselves under the waterfall of God's grace. We can't make our hearts We can't fill our hearts with something that isn't there. But we can position ourselves under the waterfall of God's grace. We can put ourselves in places that stir up our affections. We can remember what God has done for us, and we can just wait and cry out to the Lord to fill us again, to meet us right where we are. Maybe that's what we can do today. If that's you, and you find your focus sometimes starting to drift, just remember afresh what God has been doing around you, what he's already done for you, his declaration of love for you on the cross. Just to remember him afresh and set your eyes on him and take them off yourselves and just see what God does. For whoever wants to save their life will what? But whoever loses their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Jesus, save us today. We remember before you just how amazing you are, how good and how gracious you are, how desperate we are for your love, how astounding your grace is for us, that you would reach out to us long before we could ever reach out to you. Thank you that you forgave us before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eye. And you declared your love for us on the cross. And Lord, as we just spend some time remembering that this morning, Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for my friends, God, that you would just refill us and refocus us when our eyes come off of you. Meet us this morning, Holy Spirit.